And good afternoon to all of our listeners on CJTR Community Radio at 91.3 FM, and also welcome to everyone tuning in over the internet at www.cjtr.ca. Wherever you are, welcome to Human Rights Radio, hosted weekly by Amnesty International volunteers. And we're comprised of a worldwide movement of people dedicated to the protection and promotion of human rights. We'd like to thank Canadian band Mr. Something Something from Toronto and the Afrobeat poet Ikwunga for graciously allowing us to use their song You Are Beautiful as the theme song for Human Rights Radio. My name's Jim Hutchings, and this week I'm joined by our co-host, Mona Hill. And Mona's going to introduce our guest this week.
Before we introduce our guest, what I'd like to say is we mentioned in our blog and in our any information that has gone out about the radio show that this week we want to talk about homelessness. And the first thing I want to talk about is you might be interested in knowing that there is a new task force that's recently been formed titled the Prairie Region Housing and Health Task Force. And it's been formed to address homelessness and housing problems and lack of supports for people who live in poverty, have disabilities such as HIV, AIDS, and hepatitis C that are often coupled with mental health concerns or cognitive disabilities, and for people who are at risk of having to deal with those concerns in the future. So that's sort of a preface to the show, and I want to introduce our guest now, who is Stella. I met Stella probably over a year ago, and we had a very short conversation, and then I met her again recently and asked her if she would like to come on the show, because Stella has an interesting story to tell us. We're just going to be having a conversation about her life. I'll give you a bit of a background on Stella. She currently lives in Regina, and in the past, Stella ended up homeless, mostly due to the fact that she contracted HIV and hepatitis C in her marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And she ended up living on the street due to the difficulty of connecting with and obtaining financial support from social services. And when you went to Vancouver, right, Stella?
Yes.
Yeah. So you sort of, it took you a couple of years to get housing. And in the course of those 2 years, you lived in various places that you really couldn't call home, didn't you?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, so, you know, when you and I talked before, you talked about living in shelters, and where else did you stay when you couldn't stay in a shelter?
On the street in SkyTrain.
Tell me about the SkyTrain. Was it that you lived underneath the rails?
Or the SkyTrain would be underneath grass and in trees.
You lived in trees? Like, were these trees in parks?
Yeah.
So how do you live in a tree, Stella?
You just rape, you put your sleeping bag down and just cover down and make sure the trees are covered, or you're covered, and that's it, and you fall asleep.
So you lived amongst the trees in the parks?
Yes.
Did you manage to find places on benches to sleep?
Yes, I have. And then I found benches where you had to unpack your sleeping bag and...
Okay.
Just to uncover, or, you know, to keep warm.
Okay. So what about homeless shelters? Were they of use to you at all?
Yes, because I got introduced to the homeless shelter. I'll name one is the Front Room in Vancouver or Surrey area.
Okay. Okay. When you lived in the shelters, were there any particular problems that you encountered? You and I talked about the fact that oftentimes women being homeless is a different matter than men being homeless.
Homeless is that women need more personal hygiene care, you know, bath and shower, wash, you know, change clothes. You need spare clothes.
Right, right. What about the fact that you were talking to me about living in a cardboard box? Let's talk about that.
The cardboard box is just getting a cardboard box out of garbage can and just resetting your tent up or setting up for getting ready for bed. So you got to tear it apart. You got to, you know, tear it apart, then weigh it down to keep it warm, because the bottom heat keeps you warm.
Where did you find your cardboard box?
I found it in the garbage can. So I had to go over and lift up the hood and get the garbage, bring it up, and drag it where I am. So, and then I had to tear it apart.
So when you took it apart, were you able to use the same box over again, or did you have to find a new box?
I had to find different boxes.
And
sometimes, like the last one, I had all my stuff together, but each night you had a, you didn't know if your cardboard box was there or whatever. So you had to restart again.
Did you have safety issues with living on the street?
I was prepared with two people. There was always two people.
So you always had a companion?
And,
so
yeah.
Safety in numbers sort of
yeah.
thing. Yeah,
not by myself. But
okay. Okay. So you didn't necessarily have safety issues
no.
because of that. So
yeah.
that was pretty smart. Right. You talked about dragging this cardboard box through the streets.
Yes.
Know, to where you felt you could be safe.
Yeah. I would find just under a roof where it was warm, you know, a shelter that you won't get wet. You're being under a warm place.
Right. Was there ever any time, Stella, when you were unable to find a place that was safe from the elements, like from the wind and the rain?
Yeah, there was times.
How was that for you?
It was cold. When you're waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning, it's cold. You can't sleep. You have cramps. You have everything. And trying to find a warm place or have coffee, you can't find that or have fluids in you. You can't, you know, there was nothing available.
So this seriously impacts your health,
yeah.
I imagine. Yeah.
Well, you could end up with soaking wet. You could end up with cold, pneumonia.
Right.
You know, right. everything.
Right. Did you find that you had enough food to eat when you were living on the street?
Well, for me, I had to use the soup kitchen mm-hmm. to make sure I was getting fed. I'm like, to pack it in your food, well, you're lucky to have bread. You know, you can't cook, you can't do anything.
Right. Yeah, so you have to rely on other people all
yeah.
the time. Yeah. We talked a little bit about how you ended up homeless, and you know, you suggested or you mentioned to me that it was because you had difficulty connecting with social services where you lived at the time, and that was because you had lost your identification.
Okay, for identification, is that I had to have BC health care card or Saskatchewan health care card, and also you had to have your marriage, your birth certificate, just the basic to get your. I knew my SIN card, but you still had to have your SIN card.
You had to have proof of who you were.
You were.
And I think that's, from my experience, a really common problem with people who end up homeless and are not able to connect with social services for financial assistance. If your identification is stolen or if you lose it, there's no permanent address. There's no way of proving who you are. And for the most part, social services will not accept you as a client if you don't have proof of who you are. And that's a huge problem for people who are living on the streets because it's common to lose your identification. And you talked about it costing $10 to get your
birth. And also your birth certificate would be $80. Like, for example, for mine is $80. Plus the kids are like $27. Depends what province you are born, or
right.
where the kids are born.
So you end up in a vicious cycle of needing $80 or $10 to get a piece of identification. But social services won't help you until you have that identification. So are they likely to pay for that to help you out or not?
No, you have to do it on your own.
Right. So how would you find the money to do that? How do most people that you know of that lived on the streets with you, how did they do that?
Well, with me, I had to learn how to budget. Like budget, you have to find out how much it's going to cost. And also take the form to social service and say, this is going to cost you $10. If it's going to cost you, depends on what province you are in.
Right.
Because the price of birth certificate.
Right. Did you have to do any panhandling to get money?
No, everybody gave me money.
Well, I can see why, because you're such a bubbly, effervescent woman. You know, you've got a wonderful sense of humor. So I can understand people giving you money. Yeah. So that was very helpful to
yeah.
me. People were very willing to give you money.
And also, I just explained that I needed to go into a soup kitchen. Well, mm-hmm. can you give me the direction?
Right. And then they would help you out with money.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I'm really glad to hear that because I know how difficult it is to be able to even come up with $10. I actually do know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also you could buy $10 of food.
Right, exactly. Yeah. What kind of shelters were there? Like you mentioned that in Vancouver when you stayed there, there was mostly religious organizations that helped you out?
Yes, it was called the Front Room Mission.
Right. So one of them was like the Salvation Army?
Salvation Army.
There was a Sikh temple?
Yeah.
Well,
Sikh
shelter.
Temple, you could go from 8 o'clock to 8 o'clock at night. Also, they had food. They had tea. They had everything. Your three screw.
Right.
You know, fruit and whatever.
Right. Well,
so
that's
they,
good. How do you become homeless? What happens? In your case, you ended up with HIV and hepatitis C. And you ended up not well.
Yeah.
You couldn't work. So that's one way of becoming homeless, is losing, like not being able to be employed, right?
Yeah.
When we talked about this before the interview, you talked about family breakup. What else would you like to talk about?
Losing your children, apprehended children, custody.
Mm-hmm.
Custody and access orders.
Okay.
And the future of the kids, you know, medical, food.
Right, yeah. And when you talk about medical, I think it's really important to mention that
you're
oftentimes if you have poor health, you can end
you
up
you have to have prescriptions, you know, vitamins to keep you awake, like your vitamins, your boosts.
Mm-hmm. Buying something like boosts to keep you healthy.
Keep you healthy.
If you have bad health, right.
And also health and just keep, you know, if you can't pay for it, you get it free. Or you get Tylenol 3s or...
If you're in pain.
Pain.
How did you get that free? Did you go to doctors that were able
to
give it to you?
I went to the doctors and the nurses that they would give that.
Well, that's pretty good that they were able to do that for you. Oftentimes doctors have samples that they can give you.
Yeah.
Right. What about when you needed to have showers and baths?
Well, I would book myself at 4 o'clock at the Front Room.
This is one of the shelters?
Yeah.
So they allowed you to come in and have a shower?
Shower.
Oh, that's good.
And wash your clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And watch TV. Or you could use the phone. You could use... They had food for you.
Okay.
So you had your food area.
Right.
So you would be running up to get your food, right. Like salads. And
was there a limit on how often you could come and do that?
No, it was like 365 days.
Okay. Do you know if Regina has anything like that?
I don't think so. We, very few have it.
Especially for women.
Especially for women.
Right. And the other thing you talked about, Stella, was the fact that you felt that shelters and the volunteers that work in shelters who, you know, are, it's a wonderful thing to be a volunteer and work in a shelter, but that they don't necessarily have the training or the knowledge to understand women's issues and how they differ from
different
men's
It's very difficult, and the training that we don't have, it's just like, say, here and there, but to get to training and professional to understand, it makes a world difference.
Right, right. And if you happen to be a person with a mental illness or with a physical disability or a learning disabilities, if the shelters don't have anyone who's trained to work with the people who need their services, that can create a really difficult situation for them, can't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you find that in any way at all?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, because of disability.
Disability and just everything at once.
Right.
Because I think in BC we have more training people to understand the caring.
I see. Well, I'm glad that you had that. That's good. And we're looking forward to that occurring more and more in Saskatchewan for these issues. We also talked about lack of life skills that can cause you to end up homelessness. Tell us about that.
Life skill is knowing your problem, your needs, and to be more specific.
Okay. Can you tell us a little bit more then about
the needs of life skill was for me to understand where the problem was and to change my life and to go more for it, to have goal setting and.
So you were able to get some life skills training that helped you to be able to find somewhere to live.
And getting the knowledge yeah. that how to do it.
That's great. That's good to hear. Sometimes we talked about how women are easier targets when they're living on the street. Can you talk about that for our listeners?
Well, our target is that we have kids, so we got to look after the kids and make sure the kids get proper to do their best interest.
Did you know women who lived on the street that had their children with them?
Yeah.
So it was pretty hard for them, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And were they kids that were in school, or were they
younger? Well, from birth to 12 years, you know.
Yeah, older children.
Yeah.
And what were their specific problems?
Well, special needs, hearing, you know, at our daycare.
Right.
Interacting and development.
Sure. I guess if you don't have a home to live in, and you can't raise your children the way you would like to.
Yeah.
And who wants to see children living on the street or living in shelters? Right. And what about male role models?
Also, the role models don't have the training, or they're not involved with the... they're sort of left out of the picture right now.
Right. The one thing I'd like to tell the listeners is, if you're not aware of it, right now in Regina, it's very difficult for women in particular to find any kind of housing if they are homeless. The majority of our shelters here for women are safe shelters for women in state of domestic abuse situations. Women who are not suffering from domestic abuse problems are finding a very, very difficult time finding housing. There are places that will take them in. The YWCA is a great resource, but they are very limited in how many beds that they have. So this is something that if you feel that, you know, as a listenership, you'd like to go out and sort of make some noise about, call people that you think would be able to help. And
also speak to your MOAs or
right.
to make an issue to social service. Mm-hmm. And they are open. Like, I'm more open to say, this is my voice. This is what we need to be having.
Very good. Oops, I banged my microphone. Sorry about that. Yeah. So this has been a really, really interesting discussion. Is there anything else that you wanted to tell the audience about living on the street and what it was like for you? And maybe how you ended up getting housing in the end.
Well, I ended up having housing because when we had that first snowfall, it made me realize it's like I would be dead. I would be dead, really. And that was my close call. And lucky Aaron just came by and put me into a shelter.
Right.
Was this in Vancouver?
Or this was in Regina.
In Regina.
After you came back to Regina.
Yeah. This was my first winter.
Oh.
So, I tell you, it was the experience when you're freezing and, you know, seeing that snow coming down.
Winter in Regina is different from winter in Vancouver.
Yeah.
That's right. Stella, I really want to thank you for coming on the show. This has been an eye-opener, I think, for a lot of people. I just also wanted to let the audience know that Stella is now a graduate of a variety of life skills programs. And that you currently live in supportive housing, and you also do a lot of work in a volunteer manner, and that you volunteer at Red Ribbon Place, which is a housing complex for people with HIV, AIDS, and hepatitis C here in Regina. I'm very grateful that I know you. You've educated me a lot on your life and the things that you do, and I think, Stella, that you're making a big difference here in Regina with the people that you come in contact by being willing to share your story. And I really appreciate you coming on the show.
And it's a great privilege because I get to work with you guys and share. We need to be educated and to work with connection and work with everybody together.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I think the topic of homelessness in Regina is certainly not over as far as Human Rights Radio is concerned. Our listeners can be sure that we're going to revisit this in the future. There are so many areas that we can talk about regarding homelessness. But you've started us on a road that we're very happy to go down. So thank you very much.
Thank you.